This is Douglas G. Spain, former state and regional housing director for the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. Today, Sunday, June 17th, 1970, 6 p.m., I will be interviewing Mrs. Bernice Barlow, current president of Saginaw Branch, National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, who will answer questions regarding and the growth of NAACP in the Tri-City area for Saginaw Valley College Historical Collection. Before we start on the interview, a few facts about Mrs. Barlow. Mrs. Barlow, besides being president of our local NAACP branch, also fills many other roles quite capably, for she is an educator, a housewife, and a mother. She holds a bachelor's degree and a master's degree. From the very beginning, she has always been active in the community as well as in the vanguard of those striving to improve the opportunities and quality of life for her people and ethnic minorities in Saginaw, feeling that in so doing, she will be improving the condition of all people. Mrs. Barlow, I can certainly appreciate your granting me this time and interview today, because I am well aware that you rushed madly back from a summer now where we were both attending in Lansing at Michigan State to serve as host at an NAACP dinner last night. Mrs. Barlow, that dinner celebrated how many years of NAACP in Saginaw?
54th annual year that the NAACP has been active in Saginaw.
How long have you lived in Saginaw, Mrs. Barlow?
Since early childhood. My parents came to Saginaw when I was very young. I went through the public schools in Saginaw, graduated from Saginaw High in 1945.
Very good. And what was Saginaw like as you first remember it? And who were some of the leading people and institutions here when you came?
I'm not sure. I was not aware of many of the people when I was a child. But as far as I can recall that there were three Negro lawyers. We had Dr. U.S. Bagley, a medical physician who served as the president of NAACP for a time. There was Dr. Archer A. Clater, who came in the middle 30s. And Saginaw was rather unique at that time. It was a lot different than it is today. We had three undertakers. Mrs. Elsie Black's father was an undertaker then. We had Mr. Evans and Mr. Brown also at that time. The NAACP to me was not as viable as it is now, because I was a child and didn't seem to need the problem. I didn't seem to be aware of some of the things that were going on.
I just noticed you said that they had three lawyers then. That's more than they have now. Is there any reason for that?
I'm not really sure. There was a very prominent Saginaw lawyer who I understand was born here and went to Chicago. One of the lawyers went to Flint. I'm not really sure. I can recall very vividly when Attorney Marsh and Mr. Poston came, I'm not really sure why we don't have more lawyers. I certainly think that there's a need for more of them.
Thank you, Mrs. Barlow. About how many Afro-American families lived in Saginaw at the time you first remember?
I could answer that by simply saying that there were very few as compared to what there are now. We all knew each other. I cannot recall having over 2 black Americans in my classroom. I never had a black teacher, and there were very few families here at that time. It's true that most of us were settled in one area, but there were scattered numbers, and as there always have been. There were the Haythcos that were born and reared on the west side. There were 2 or 3 other families, the Goins, who were early settlers. They came here originally from Lutterton by way of Pennsylvania, and there were 2 or 3 other families here at that time, but it was very small. There just weren't many of us then.
Could you give us a brief history of some of the highlights of NAACP through the years?
As you might recall, in 1969, when I first took office, we celebrated our 50th year of NAACP in Saginaw. I do have some papers that were written by one of our earlier presidents, who happens to have been a woman, and was born in Saginaw, and was the first black member of St. Mary's Catholic Church. She passed away in Detroit about 5 years ago. I understand from some of the papers that the NAACP was organized in 1919. Some of the charter members were parents of some of our members now. Mrs. Saunders' father, who Mrs. Saunders is the past president, her father was one of the charter members. I understand that Mr. Harry W. Brown's mother was the first secretary of NAACP. There was a need even then. I understand that the woman president at that time had quite close contact with the Morley family. And whereas our problems were different than they are now, there was a need for better housing and there was a need for welfare. And I've heard this past president say many times that when she needed something, she would explain what she needed to the Morley family, and she was always able to get that. I became a youth member, and as you know, youth are not, when you're 14, 15, you're there for the parties and the dances, really, that the youth branch gives. And I was not aware of many of the problems that they were having. But when the first problem that I can remember now that I have some of my members tell me about was that the NAACP was responsible for the first Negro teacher being hired. That was in the middle 40s. At that time also, they were responsible for the hiring of minority employees at Bell Telephone. I remember that very vividly because the president of the branch at that time was a member of my church, Mr. Benny W. Falls, who was instrumental in getting Bell to hire employees. I understand that the NAACP approached Mr. Chester Miller, one of the past superintendents of the schools, and they asked if they might be able to hire Negro teachers, and they were told that they didn't have any schools for them. What did they want them to do, build more schools? And they said, no, we don't build schools, more schools. We want you to put Negro teachers in the ones that you have. This went on for some time, and finally Mr. Miller told him that he would hire a Negro if they could find one. Well, in the past history, when Negroes became educated, and you may understand that I'm using the term Negro, but I mean black also. That's an age gap, I guess. If you're under 40, you say black. If you're over 40, you sometimes slip into the habit of saying Negro. But I understand that there was a young lady who had finished school, and she was a member of one of our older families, the Haythcos. She had finished school and was unable to get a job after she graduated from Michigan State, so she had gone to Lansing, and she was working for the government. A group of members of the Saginaw branch of the NAACP went to Lansing and asked this young lady if she would take a leave of absence from her government job. and return to Saginaw and become its first teacher, black teacher. And this is what happened. She took a leave of absence. That was Miss Heathcote. She's now married and living in Lansing, and she is a government employee. Some of those people that were instrumental in this was are still members of the community. Mr. M.L. Dukes, Mrs. Evelyn Sincere, they are pioneers in being able to get Negro teachers into Saginaw. Saginaw has participated in boycotting General Motors. I think Mr. Skink himself was here at that time when the NAACP chartered a bus and marched on General Motors in Detroit. We have attacked problems down through the years, not with a lot of fanfare. They worked very successfully before my going into the adult branch and getting a housing project here blocked because it was going to be built purposely for Negroes. People involved in that was a new attorney here, Attorney Henry G. Marsh and Harold Brown. With the help of the national office, they were able to block this housing project. And when the houses were built, it was known that they would be inhabited by both blacks and whites, even though this did not become really true. The projects were mainly inhabited by Negroes.
Mrs. Barlow, I recall being chairman of a coalition committee in which the NAACP had three representatives to get school administrators in Saginaw, and the NAACP backing gave us significant support in doing this. Are the schools operating as you think satisfactory now, or could there be improvements?
That's really not a hard question to answer. I'm thinking of Dr. Morsell's comment last night at our Fight for Freedom Fund dinner. Saginaw, like other communities, could stand a lot of improvement. I recall very vividly the problem you're talking about when the coalition asked for Negro black administrators, and you were told, as you remember, that they had to have a master's degree and they had to have taught in the system 10 years, and they knew that there were no black teachers at that time that had taught for 10 years because we hadn't been in the system that long. No, I don't think the schools are operating satisfactorily. I don't think they're operating hardly any place satisfactorily. There needs to be a lot done.
One of the problems I think we have now is that we did go out of the community and get administrators at that time and had an assistant superintendent who was black. We do not have one now, but we do have several principals. Also, we have several people locally who in the system who have their masters and who have met all the criteria, and they don't seem to be getting appointments. Could something be done about that?
There certainly needs to be something done about that, Mr. Skink, and I think that what you alluded just a few minutes ago about a coalition of concerned people, I think this would help in getting our getting black administrators. We do have a significant number of black principals. The first black principal was a classmate of mine who attended Potter Central in Saginaw High. She has now been moved to the fringe areas of a West Side school. We are getting two black principals, males, to be in two of our schools. In fact, one of the schools is perhaps the largest elementary school here in Saginaw. I think there needs to be a drive on. Someone needs to sit down and analyze what needs to be done and then form a coalition, put their shoulders together, and get the job done.
Most of our black principals now have been coming from the outside. Do you think that if the local people with master's degree and having a knowledge of the community were elevated, that this would produce significant results?
I'm not really sure, Mr. Skink. There is a possibility that there are a number of local people with master's degree that maybe do not wish to apply, for I myself have a master's degree with 33 hours beyond a master's, and I have never applied for a principalship or any other position other than a classroom teacher, merely because I enjoy classroom teaching. I do think that perhaps in the future I might would like to go into the field of school social work. I understand, though, this is not documented, but I do understand that there were a number of local people that applied for the principalship. I know several people that served on the screening committee interviewing these people. And as to just why they were not elevated, I don't seem to know. One of the young men that are coming in, I understand, does not yet have his master's. He's working on his master's. I do understand that the one that's going to be over the largest elementary school has a Ph.D. or will soon have a Ph.D. I do not know what the screening committee looked for. I don't know what the young man without a master's as yet. I don't know what his credentials were that they were so impressed that they would bypass some of the local people that do have master's degree. But I do understand that there were a significant number of local people that were qualified that did apply.
You mentioned housing as another problem and welfare as a problem. How do you see those situations now?
Perhaps I should be asking you about housing because, you know, you worked on the state level for the NAACP on housing. Housing is not good, but being a native of Saginaw for practically all my life, I have seen changes in housing. I'm not saying that they were 100% better, but there have been some changes. For instance, in the area that I'm living in, when I grew up as a child, this was practically taboo for most of us, although a classmate of mine who happens to be, her parents are native Saginawians by way of Canada, the Ford family, they lived just around the corner. Even then in the early 30s and the late 30s and the early 40s. But it seems that as far as housing is concerned, in the past, before the open occupancy law was passed, that you merely moved back the boundaries. They would allow you to move in this block perhaps this year, and as the area became so crowded with Negroes, then they would open up another area. So it's just the imaginary boundary line that was used. We do, as you know, we do have an open occupancy law. I'm not really sure that it's effective. I'm sure that it is not as effective as it should be. Because just 3 years ago, when my sister tried to buy a home, she had difficulties. And I think even today that you would find difficulties. So that's just another instance where you have the law on the book, but it is not being implemented like it should be.
How do you feel about police-community relations at present in Saginaw?
I guess I could answer that by saying that there are problems, and yet I'm cognizant of the fact that policemen are having problems too. And the citizens certainly are having them. Just about, I suppose, 4 months ago, the NAACP, what we thought was a very good case against the police department for police brutality. I was not involved because I was recuperating from surgery, but my first vice president was very much involved, where a paralyzed man was literally beaten by the policeman. He was not able to walk, and he was only able to use his arms, and yet he and his son were brutally beaten. The NAACP filed charges with the police department. The officers involved were exonerated by a police board. My first vice president made an attempt to hire several lawyers, and he was met with frustration. I think he finally came out with the comment that you just couldn't buck City Hall. But Elia was eventually hired, and I'm not sure as to now just what has taken place in that particular case, but the lawyer was hired, and the last time we talked to the victim, he was pleased at what was going on. The police department have seemed to have made efforts to try to communicate with the minority groups. They've put one police station out in the community. But I'm not sure. It's perhaps because of our past association with policemen that there's frictions between us. I think you would almost have to be cognizant that there are problems with the police, there are problems with the citizens, there is crime every place, and everyone seems to be blaming everyone else. And I would be the first to say that there needs to be an improvement in the police and the public relation.
Getting back to City Hall, as you know, this year saw the advent of revenue sharing. And how sensitive do you feel that City Hall will be to the problems of the black, the poor, and other ethnic minority groups?
I really hate to make this statement, Mr. Skank, but as you have already alluded, we were attending a workshop on revenue sharing, although I was unable to stay through the whole session. I remember the comment that was made by one of the panel leaders that with revenue sharing, we are really beginning to find out that we've been had, and we really don't know how bad we've been had. I'm very pessimistic about whether City Hall will be sensitive. Again, I must allude to some comments that were made by my speaker last night, Dr. Marcel. We seem to be living in an area now where there is so much insensitivity shown toward minority groups. He mentioned that during the late 40s, the early 50s under President Truman, even under Mr. Eisenhower, there were some progress made. Under Mr. Kennedy, there were great progress, and I think all of us would admit that under President Johnson, there was great progress made for black Americans. At that time, it seemed to be that everyone was sensitive toward minority groups, and there were great progress made. But it seems now that in these times, we don't have a friend in the White House, let's face it. And it started at the top, and it is filtrating down. From our past history with City Hall here, I'm not optimistic at all.
NAACP participated in one of the most successful compensatory education programs, which was the COP program, where aides and others from the Saginaw school system went to Saginaw Valley and Delta colleges, and many have graduated this year. Do you see hope in a successful program like that for the future?
I think perhaps priorities may have to be changed. This was a successful program. We have some outstanding graduates that have come out of COP. But yet what we must realize is that there is an oversupply of teachers, and something will have to be done about that, perhaps in some other areas. But I do think that this program was very successful. These teachers were trained in the Saginaw Public School System. They are aware of many of the problems that are in the school system. I do think that this program should continue, but perhaps some of the feel. I'm not sure that it would be wise to oversaturate the field. I think in the field of medical science and this perhaps feels that there might be a shortage in. But I definitely think that the program should be able to continue, because many of our citizens in the immediate area were helped. And I think it should continue. I serve on that COP board, and I'm very proud of some of the things that this program has done.
Do you feel like Saginaw Valley College has done a good job with the present and previous graduates?
I personally know two of Saginaw Valley's graduates, and they are considered some of our outstanding teachers. I think Saginaw Valley has done a tremendous job. I think it is a tremendous asset to the community, and we should be very grateful that it is here.
In Saginaw, we have a sizable Chicano population who has many problems similar to ours. Is it your feeling that now we are beginning to be able to work together, and much more so than in the past, and what do you predict for the future?
I would certainly hope that we would be able to work better in the future than we have in the past. As I've already stated, I attended the public schools here in Saginaw, and there were many Chicanos, Mexican-Americans, whatever you prefer to be called, here in Saginaw. At that time, they did not seem to align themselves with Negroes or Black Americans at that time. I can recall very vividly being told by one of my Chicano friends they were white. They were listed as white. I can recall in the early 50s when we were trying to get a coalition together and we sought the Chicano, and they seemed to have felt that the Black problems were not really their problems. And I remember one of our spokesmen told them, said, "You're on the fence, and you're going to have to get off, and you're going to find out that perhaps your problems are our problems." Again, alluding to, and pardon me for referring back to Dr. Marcel, he mentioned that the strength of the NAACP had been organization and ideas, and that there are other groups that are taking up the same position. So Chicanos are going to have to find out that organization cannot be beat, organization and ideas. They are finding out that our problems are similar. They were not as different as they thought they were. For the future, as far as Blacks and Chicanos getting together, I think this will be achieved. There are many Chicano leaders now finally waking up, and they're finding out where they are, and they're finding out that they're not white, and they're finding out that organization is what it takes. And I do think that there can be some achievement by both groups working together.
What other problems do you see in Saginaw today?
Perhaps because I am an educator, I'm deeply concerned about the education problems. To me, this is the most significant problems, because as Blacks, we've been taught down through the years that the way out is through education. But when we have children coming through our school system, graduating from high school with diplomas and are unable to read, unable to fill out an application to get a job, something is wrong. And this is what I'm concerned about. It is with education. Our schools are segregated. There is no gray line. They're segregated, whether it be de facto or de jure. And because I grew up in an integrated setting, I said integrated because at the time that I was at Saginaw High, there were perhaps 3 to 5% Negro. And when I was going through Central Empire, perhaps it was the same way. And as you know, the NAACP is for integration, and I just do not think that there is quality education where there is segregated education. Everyone seems to be having a problem. You're aware of the NAACP suit in Detroit. Saginaw would very much like to file a suit, but at this time it does not seem that it's an opportune time, because being a member of the NAACP for a number of years like you have, you know the structure of it. There is a time where the Saginaw branch will be called on perhaps to finance the Detroit suit if it becomes too expensive. And it has already run almost around $100,000, and perhaps it will run even more than that by the time it reaches the Supreme Court. We have 5 suits in Michigan filed to desegregate the schools. I was very surprised last night when I talked to our state president, Mr. Carl L. Breeden, who is from Jackson, Michigan, and he's also an educator. And he stated that Jackson schools have been desegregated.